there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 112, or 1,012,000. We'll get to that in a second. For Thursday, October 18th, 2012. It's been a big day, boys and girls. It's been a very big day, and here's why. It's not quite our birthday. I guess we're a little older than 4 years old, but today, on October 18th, 2012, we have eclipsed 1 million members on androidcentral.com. This actually goes back a little bit beyond me, because I came in, what, a little more than a year in? But, 4 years and change, and 1 million members, and that's pretty badass. So, everybody out there, give yourselves a hand, because you, and I'm pointing to the camera for everybody listening, you are the ones who make this. Also, big, huge help, or thank you, I guess, to everybody in the forums, especially Corey Streeter, our forum admin. You guys know him from the podcast as well. He couldn't be here tonight, unfortunately, because he's out getting the next 1 million members. So, and all the moderators and advisors and anybody else who helps out in the forums and basically puts up with the rest of us. So thank you all. Badass. I am without words. Actually, breaking news. Jerry, give me a breaking news sound. We now have 1,181 members. That'll change by the end of the show. Remind me, and we'll give an update later. Ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, howdy. And I won't be making that noise anymore.
And we're pulling in Renee Ritchie tonight. You know him from imore.com, and he produces all our podcasts and all that good stuff because, A, he's also badass. B,
hey Jerry.
He's going to get us another 1 million members by the end of the show, he promised, or we're never allowing him back.
And I said I would stand at the corner with a sign, Phil.
And Renee's got a little bit to add, and I figure it's a good time to have you on, since Apple's having an event next week for something, what is it, a little more, a little something?
A little something. Well, you said it. You said they're going to invent the small tablet.
They're going to invent the small tablet, so we'll talk about that for a minute, too. But let's jump into it. We have, we say this every week, we have a lot to deal with, and a lot of it's broken in the last 24 hours. I didn't think the last day was ever going to end, and then it did, and today started up, and it hadn't gotten any better. So we've gotten our invitation to October 29th in New York City. The playground is open, Google says, again. Now, they've actually said this before, Jerry. Do you remember where? Pop quiz.
See, you put me on the spot, and I don't know.
All right, so every now and then when Google releases a new product, they put it on Google.com on the homepage, on the sacred holy homepage. And what was the last device they put on there?
The Nexus 7.
The Nexus 7. And right beneath it, it said, the playground is open.
Oh! I use Google Chrome and never visit the homepage. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jerry. So that actually makes it pretty interesting. Let's back in and look. We've got a week and a half till this thing goes down, so we'll have another podcast between now and then. But let's just start wild-ass guessing at what we're going to see. Nexus, LG Nexus, guess. We talked about this last week, I know. We're going to talk about it again next week. Deal with it. LG Nexus, yes. New SKUs for the Nexus 7? New storage sizes?
I think a new size and the deletion of one of the current sizes.
Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. That's kind of an evolutionary growth you would expect of any tablet, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I have a cellular Nexus, please? Pretty please?
I bet
that's a bribe.
I still think so, especially with all those $99 rumors. And Paul O'Brien from Motoco has been hearing stuff, too. So absolutely, I see that happening. Maybe not there, but at some point, right?
Well, what do we think about this $99 entry-level single-core Nexus Unknown 7-inch?
No, what's the difference between that and these craplets that get released every year that we don't touch with a 10-foot pole?
Nothing. That's, you know, I see the rumors out there, too, and I just ignore them and figure, well, if Phil thinks it's worthwhile, then I'll listen, and so far you haven't. So now I'm coming right out and asking you what you thought.
I'm not saying everything needs to have, you know, quad core Snapdragon S4 Pros and, you know, 5 billion jillion floating points per second, you know, whatever. But and Nexus has proved that, right? The Nexus project has proved that not every brand new device, especially for Google, has to have the most badass specs in the history of mobile devices. But $99, even if you're eating a lot of the cost, and obviously Google's been eating some cost with these, $99 is just too cheap.
Well, no, I mean, if some unknown company can put them out for $69. Google can probably make them for $99 without losing too much money.
And what I'm really shaking my head at is when you say, you know, just single core, blah, 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 you know, just really low spec. Yeah. No, I don't see them putting out something really, really low spec.
Yeah, they won't put their name on something that's a horrible experience. The Nexus brand, right. Even the cheaper one, is still like really well made, really good device. They're flagship products.
Did you ever get one, Renee?
I did. I have a Nexus 7. Mm-hmm.
I like it. I still use it, and I've got, you know, two iPads here. And I still use it more, I think, than the iPads. And we've talked about this before. I really use the iPad for browsing more than anything, just because browsing's better on it.
It sold me on the small form factor. I did not believe in the small form factor.
Here's what I want to see. So we've talked about this before, too. These are, you know, this is something I brought up in a meeting with HTC in San Diego last week. This is the most worthless accessory designed into a device ever, are the Pogo pins. And I love the Pogo pins, right? They first came with the Nexus 1. So you can just rest a device in something and it charges. I mean, what has used it? Nexus 1 had a dock. Galaxy Nexus finally got a dock. Like, what, a year? Well, not quite a year, but took 6-8 months, which is ridiculous, right? Nexus 7 still doesn't have an accessory for it. Why not?
And we've seen something that supposedly has been in the works months ago.
Yeah. And I'm sure it was in the works. I'm sure it was in the works, you know, months ago. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have one, and that's bad. Yep. Let's do the New York Times breakdown of the invitation to poke a little fun at Renee's iOS people, because they went nuts. They went nuts on that Apple invite, and you know, I think there's probably a little bit more to read into Apple invitations than these Google ones. All right, so it's in New York City. It's at what else? That's about it.
It's very yellow.
Yeah, it's downtown.
That's got to mean something. Yellow has to mean something.
Yo. It's like being mad in the kitchen.
Hey.
I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to... I'm getting nothing out of it. I think the playground is open. We talked about this before, and I think we talked about it before Google I.O. We really expected this bigger push in the living room than we got. Even with the Nexus Q, right? You think we're finally going to start seeing more of that? Are we going to see the Q again?
I don't know. I hope so, but I don't know.
The living room is tough. I don't think anyone's nailed the living room yet. They've been trying for years.
And I don't think that now is the right time to do it. Google needs to show off a quality smartphone at a entry-level price direct from their store and a decent ecosystem behind it. Do that first.
Right.
Then worry about the living room. That's just my opinion.
The store's getting there.
But yes, it's getting there. There's still a lot of room for improvement.
We have wish lists.
Yep.
For what that's worth, you can't really do anything with them yet.
Have you used yours, Phil?
What's that?
Have you used yours?
Yeah. You're basically bookmarking things to it right now. And you can do anything. It'll do apps. It'll do music. It'll do magazines. It'll do books. You just can't do anything with that list right now.
You can't get them off that list either.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, how can you?
Yeah, you just go back to it and hit the bookmark icon again.
Oh, see, you're a genius.
Yeah, no, it's not a problem. I mean, I assume at some point they're going to let us do something with it, right?
Well, Christmas is coming up, Phil. I need to know what to buy you. They better hurry.
Yeah.
Well, especially calling the wish list, that term, it's got to be where Phil can fill out a wish list and Jerry can buy him something off of it and send it to his Gmail account. And there's, to me, nothing else makes sense.
Right. No, I think at some point they'll flip that switch. It really is interesting to me how much of this stuff is web-based, right? So, I mean, we've gotten – and they still push out Google Play Store updates silently. So it'd be the equivalent of Apple updating the App Store app on your phone without telling you. And I'm still not crazy about that. I still think if something's being updated on my phone, I want a notification that tells me. But fine, whatever. But –
You mean aside from content, right? You don't care if you update the latest movies.
No, just anything. I mean, this is a pretty core system app. I want to know when somebody's doing something to it, right? But what's really interesting to me is, so we got that update, I think it's on, what, 3.9.16 now? And this feature got turned on last night. So it's, you know, that's server side on Google's end. It's really interesting to me how all that works. And it's, I know it's not that magical for anybody who can make a web page looking at me kind of funny. But to me, it's pretty cool, I think. God, what else? All sorts of stuff. You can buy Google Play credits directly from Google Play. So instead of getting a gift card.
Yep, that's good.
Yeah, am I just missing why that's good? Why don't I just want to buy something?
Because I have to drive 30 miles to buy a gift card. Instead, I can just buy one for my wife right from the couch.
Okay. Oh, so can you buy the credits for somebody else?
Oh, I don't know. I assumed you could. If you can't, then I'm on your side. Right. What difference does that make?
I don't know. Let me try right now. I'm buying a $5 credit. Begin my purchase. Start now. Accept and buy.
13 minutes in and Phil is shopping.
It will complete. Yeah, it's not the first time, right? It will complete momentarily. Waiting. Processing my order. It has been purchased and is now ready to spend. So I just bought myself $5 of credit that I could have spent individually on apps and music. And
it's an Austin Powers product.
So I'm a little, I mean, again, I assume at some point they'll make it so you can buy things for other people. But for now, it's just kind of weird.
It's to protect you from spending that money on something not Google Play in the meantime. You don't waste it on beer and cigarettes.
Cheers. I don't know. It's odd. I think there's just more coming, right? And I think we're going to see it.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Here's one I want to talk about. I've been meaning to write something today and just didn't have time. So the calendar app has been broken out of Android, basically. It's now its own application, and it's what, Jerry?
Android
4.0 and up?
I think officially it's 4.04, but it's using the APIs that came with Ice Cream Sandwich, okay. So it's never...
Right.
It's not going to be able to go backwards past that.
So basically, if you have a Samsung device that's using a Samsung calendar, you can now download the stock Google calendar and put it on that phone. And that's interesting for a couple reasons. We talk about Google wrestling control of its operating system back from the carriers. And this isn't necessarily the best way to go about it, right? I mean, we talk about the heavy-handed way of, you know, telling carriers, no, you can't do that, and Google's not going to do that, and they shouldn't do that, right?
They can.
And they
can. The license prohibits it.
Right. But here's kind of an interesting end run around that. I mean, how many of the core apps have they taken out and said, that's fine, cool, we'll just put them in the Play Store, you can download them?
I don't know if you guys saw the CrackBerry podcast last week, but Kevin said that's exactly what BlackBerry is doing to protect themselves from carriers. They're going to put every app in the store so everyone can get the core apps if they want to.
It's a fun
I think that's the way it should be done.
Yeah. It's better for a number of reasons, I think. And then, you know, that's my non-technical, I don't write code for a living self, but it makes more sense to me. I mean, you take these apps out of system, and then so if you need to update Gmail, you update Gmail. And carriers don't have to approve it, and, you know, it just gets pushed out like any other app update, and it's quicker. So that makes sense.
Yep.
The other reason is to take the control of your app back, right?
And a third reason is Samsung could update the browser on the Galaxy S2 right through the Play Store, and I could go back on the internet again without worrying about getting all my data erased.
Right.
There's huge concerns in the security update department.
What do you mean?
Samsung could just put their browser in so you could update the S2, or Google could say, oh, there's a big bug in our browser, mm-hmm. our original code. Yeah. Put the browser in the store, just update it.
Right, okay. No. I'm sorry.
Wait for Verizon.
I was listening to you backwards there. I thought you meant it would be a security concern. So no, I get it.
No, it's a plus for security, for tiny security updates that, you know, quite frankly, who wants to wait for Verizon or Sprint or whoever for a little 36 kilobyte update? Gotcha. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's pure win.
So that's a good thing. Google's been busy. We're finally getting Android 4.1.2 to the Tactu Galaxy Nexus.
Yep, that was weird too, wasn't it?
There's a really great thread on XDA where they're keeping track of all the download locations. And, you know, so when you do a manual update, and it's something like 12 different, you know, flavors of Galaxy Nexus, all the regional variants in Yakju and Takju in the U.S. And it's a little insane to see it. But, you know, when I first looked at it, I just started laughing. I mean, it's pretty funny to see. And it was really odd that Takju took so long. I mean, that's the one that you buy from Google Play. That's the one, if I were to buy one right now, it would come as a Takju, T-A-K-J-U device. Yep. And, you know, it wasn't the first one to get the update. We finally got it last night. I've been throwing around conspiracy theories that Jerry keeps shooting down, but...
Conspiracy theories are fun.
Yeah, they're like rumors.
Half the fun is shooting them down.
Google Play seller support has come to India. That's a big deal. That is a huge deal as well. Really big deal.
Almost 2 billion people in India?
I wrote something this morning, actually, after the Verizon earnings numbers, and Renee and I were talking about it on Skype. And, you know, what was it, Renee? It was 3.1 million iPhones and 3.4 million Android phones that they activated in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, those are big numbers, and they're really good for Verizon, but they're still really small in the scheme of things. How many million iPhones are activated globally in a quarter?
It was low last quarter, but I mean they're in the tens of millions.
Yeah, and you know Android's doing 1.3 million devices a day. There are still more than half a billion in the field right now, and and that's not to knock Verizon; those are good numbers, right? But it just shows you how big the world is, and India is a really big part of it. So that you know developers over there can finally start making money off the rest of us is a really good thing, and not just
I think sometimes. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, sometimes I think in the West, we get blinders on. And when we think of India, we think of India from the 1800s. Well, India is a bustling, urban, gigantic country.
Yep.
And, you know, the cell phone market is probably much bigger in India than it is in the United States.
Tons of developers, tons of designers, lots of people.
Yep.
I don't really want to talk about the Google earnings today, and Google probably wishes I wouldn't either. So, I mean, they missed analysts' expectations or Wall Street's expectations. Read into that what you will. Wall Street has a habit of expecting.
So did Apple last time, right?
Exactly. Apple missed it too. But the really weird thing today was they got released early. I was actually in the car. It was lunchtime because normally the stuff gets released at the closing bell. And I'm in the car, and I see all these notes that, hey, SEC just posted it, and what the hell's going on? Turns out Google's printer accidentally, you know, submitted it too early, and in fact, it had a little part in it that said, you know, pending quote from Larry Page or whatever. So, you know, Wall Street kind of pooped a brick.
Yeah.
Google actually suspended trading. They said, hey, NASDAQ, you know, shut it down for a minute. So I think they went back on for like 45 minutes at the end of the day. And, you know, I try not to read too much into this investor stuff because it's, you know, it's investor stuff and it's not sexy to me. And investors
do what they want to
do. Yeah, it really is.
I'm always the first one to admit I don't understand it. It's rich guys talking about what they're doing with my money and I'm just lost.
Playing poker with drunk people.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now. They were still down 8% on the day. But, oh, hey, look at that. They've gained most of it back in after-hours trading. How about that?
Well,
most of it, but they're back above 700.
I don't understand it, but I listened to the call, you know, the earnings call, and there is a lot they wanted to quantify. I could see where they were very upset that the report just got released.
Mm-hmm.
They explained how a lot of that less than ideal earnings depended on Motorola and the way the dollar performs overseas, which to me, I mean, that makes no difference. You still earned a bunch of money.
Right.
But, you know, they wanted to let the investors know why it was what it was. So I imagine a couple people were pretty upset in Mountain View.
That printer got in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that might not be the printer anymore. Yeah, and the other thing I saw was a handful of posts that came out afterwards that said, hey, you know, if you're still waiting for a Motorola device, you're going to be waiting for a while still. And yeah, that's how this business works, boys and girls. Google's only owned Motorola for, what, 2-3 months now? I mean, officially owned? So this stuff, everything you see now has been in the works easily for the past 8-10 months, at least, if not longer.
Oh, sure.
If not probably longer. So, I mean, you're still not going to see it now. You're still not going to see it by the end of the year. Maybe next summer at the earliest, I'm thinking. And that's kind of the usual cycle, right? I mean, MWC at the earliest, and even then, you know, Motorola doesn't traditionally release things as MWC, right? That's usually an HTC event, and Sony, and LG. So it's business as usual.
At least I imagine that new devices, you know, smartphones, tablets, are just like anything else, and they spend a year on paper before one even becomes a reality. So,
well, the way it works is, and this is how both LG and HTC have described it to me, is basically they come out the carriers with a bunch of specs and say, here are the specs we're shooting for, here's the, you know, basic overall, you know, look and feel and hardware expectations. And then from there, they start designing and working with their customers to design a phone. And it takes a long time, and it takes, you know, 10, 12, how many ever it takes prototypes. And it's really interesting to see. But yeah, it's not, hey, Google owns Motorola, let's put out a phone next week or next week.
And they actually have to test new designs to see if they work as phones.
Well, then there's that. So this stuff takes a while. Oy. So that's the Google news, I guess. It's been a whole lot in the past 24 hours.
Yep.
And I need a nap.
I get the feeling we're going to see a whole lot more. This is all going to trickle out between now and the 29th.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely more stuff coming. I'm excited. I'll be there. Everybody else will be there, too, because they're streaming it live. So,
yep.
Negating the need for live blogs the world over. But I'm sure we all still will. So, other interesting new stuff we've seen this week. So the HTC J Butterfly got announced for Japan. 5 inches, 1080.
Love that name.
Awesome name.
And it's got to be like a little different in Japanese, I assume. Like it sounds cooler or has a little more meaning because it just sounds weird. But damn, look at that thing. You know what this looks like? This looks like they took the basic design for the new Windows Phone 8 stuff, and went Android with it. And it looks
good. I thought it looked a whole lot like the iPhone until I looked at the back.
It's bright red, man.
Yeah. That. I don't know exactly what I think about that red, but I know I like it.
Well, let me say this. I've seen HTC's color palettes that they, you know, experiment with, and this is one of the more tame colors. They do some really incredible stuff. I like this. I mean, if you've yet to get to play with, and I guess probably nobody has since they're not out yet, but the HTC 8X... The Windows Phone, and I got to play with it again last week, and compared to the Lumias, it is a really nice form factor. It's so thin, and the way they do it is they take the battery in it, and I have no idea if this J Butterfly is the same way, but instead of, you know, even with the sealed battery devices, it's, all right, you have the display on one side, and then in between you have the motherboard with PCB, and then on the back is the battery, you know, in the posterior, and then it's just covered up. Well, what they did with the 8X is they actually flipped the PCB and the battery, so the battery is in the middle of the device, which actually let them make the whole thing thinner. And if that's what's coming for Android next year, I'm very, very excited, because it's good stuff. Or if, you know, what's coming is better. And 5 inches, 1080p.
Yeah, come on. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yes.
Who needs a 1080p screen on a 12-inch away from
your
face?
It's not about need, Jerry. It's about want. It's phone porn.
The entire chat room has raised its hand.
But yeah, uh-huh. And your phone just got slower by 30% when you increased the pixels by 30%. Period. You need 30% more GPU to push them all. I think 720p was a good place to stop, and let's refine it and go from there. But I don't make phones.
These are the people who made the HTC Titan, Jerry. They don't know anything from restraint.
That is a 440 PPI. 440.
Insane.
Think about that.
Insane. I guess, you know, I'm glad that they can do it. I just don't know
why.
If that was the best place to spend that R&D money.
Most of these other phones are what? 320, 350 PPI, something like that?
Somewhere around 320, yeah.
440.
Anything past 300 is just a waste on your eyeball.
It kind of is, actually, yeah. And actually, I tell you, after getting to play with the 1VX last week, and it's, you know, it's QHD, but it's a nice size, and it's super LCD, and it looks good, and it really, you know, didn't bother me in the slightest. No, just like that, we put up a post that says, the HTC J Butterfly looks amazing, Bionic. How about that? One of those from the forum posts. I'm excited about it. And, you know, at some point, we will see something like that for the rest of the world, I think.
I'm very excited with the internals. And this is a segue for your next one. Mm-hmm. After fooling with the Optimus G for a week, this hardware is a step up that even I can see. And I'm more of a software nerd than a hardware geek. But this new S4 quad core with the big GPU, it is a huge boost in performance. So we've got a lot of good to look forward to the end of this year and next year.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So you've got the Sprint version of the Optimus G. I've got somewhere around here, too many phones on my desk. I have the Korean version again, and you know what's really cool about the Korean version?
It speaks Korean.
I have an antenna. Look at that. I can't actually do anything with it here. It worked in Korea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have Sprint 3G, so I win.
At what?
The internet.
Having something that doesn't work.
Oh. But the hardware, I mean, I tried to tell you this, and even Jerry was a little skeptical. I was like, Jerry, the hardware's pretty solid.
It is.
What do you think of the crystal reflection process stuff on the back?
Dude, I love it. I think that's just cool.
It's exactly what I'm seeing, and that's why I started the thread in the forums. It's exactly what I see on that leaked LG Nexus.
Yep. The LG Nexus picture leaks look exactly like this Sprint version.
You know what that is. You know what the design on that is. That is the same as the wallpaper on the Nexus 1, just done in that crystal reflection process.
Oh, neat.
You didn't notice that? Oh, yeah, totally.
I'll be back with you in a minute.
Go look at the picture. I mean, that's what it is. It's that same checkerboard.
Yep.
You're a smart man, Phil Dickinson.
I try. But yeah, what do you think of the glass, Jerry? It's not glass. It's glass.
I was worried.
Yeah?
I saw
Kellen from Droid Life broke his somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, and that made me worry even more.
Yeah.
But I just did the 4 foot off the ground, back straight down, let it go on the hardwood floor.
Yeah.
Just somebody had to do it, and nothing. Not a scratch.
You didn't video it?
No.
You're fired.
I can do it again and video it now that I know it won't break.
Now it'll break.
By video.
Yeah, now it'll break.
I didn't have a way out saying, Phil, it was an accident. The build quality is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If, and that just, we've seen a few LG Android phones here in the States, but none of them have had that legendary build quality that they have outside of the US.
Right.
This one does. This is an LG Optimus phone in the US that's built just tough as nails, like the ones that you can get in Europe or Asia. And that's a big plus. But still, the internals, the screen is every bit as good as the 1X, which to me is, you know, my new measure. But I got to keep getting back to the internals. It is running ice cream sandwich with a big bloaty LG skin, and it's still faster than the new Nexus with jelly bean and butter.
It's really fast.
That's a big thing. And people are going to love it.
And I'm not 100% sold on that skin by any stretch of the imagination. No, I mean, there are parts of it that are okay. There are parts of it that aren't. But It's fast. It's really fast. What else? How about the folders?
Oh, I like that they're resizable. I like that you can change your color. People want to change colors. But my God, they're ugly. Ice cream sandwich folders were beautiful.
If you haven't seen them yet, the folders on LG's skin are actually, they look like little manila folders. And it's when you go from the sleek sex that is something like stock jelly bean or ice cream sandwich, it's not good. You can resize them. It's cool. You know, if you have enough icons in it, you can actually scroll through everything in there. But it's not good. It's a shame because it really looks out of place, even just on the rest of the UI, I think. Do you agree with that, Jerry?
Yeah, it looks like 1980s Windows 3.1 icons is the first thing I thought of.
It really does.
It's square. There's no gradient. There's no shadow. There's no anything. It's just a little cartoon picture of a folder. And whether you love the colors or hate the colors of the rest of the OS, it just doesn't match.
Well, so, I mean, I'm really curious to see what like everybody in the forum says. Because this is us, and I know what we think. I want to see what everybody else says. I think everybody's probably going to hate the skin, just because our readers tend to hate skins. And I get that.
Yep.
But it's a solid, solid device. November 1st on AT&T, the 2nd on Sprint, I think, or vice versa. I forget which. So it'll be out in a couple weeks. You can pre-order them both now, I think. Or at least the AT&T one. SoftBank, buy 70% of Sprint. Woohoo!
Good. Good thing.
Japanese company. Yeah?
Yeah, Sprint needed a hefty cash injection.
To pay back all those iPhones.
Right.
Yeah.
Among other things. I mean,
pay off Apple.
Don't discount this network stuff they're doing. That is a huge undertaking, and it's still taking.
And now, yeah, they've got $20 billion to, you know, it's not finished yet, but the deal might, you know, should go through. And that gives them $20 billion minus the $8 they have to give to Apple.
Right.
That's, you know, $12 billion to put into their network.
And I asked them last week when I had a meeting with them, I said, look, you know, it feels like it's taking a long time from our end. And I get that stuff's being done, but, you know, it's bad when Verizon's naming all these little towns and, you know, you still don't have LTE in New York or, you know, just wherever. It looks bad. And it's really tough for a lot of people to swallow. So I hope we're going to start. I mean, and they just announced, you know, a couple more cities a week or two ago. But it feels like it's going slow. They've got to catch up, especially because T-Mobile and that whole Metro PCS thing, right? So T-Mobile and Metro PCS sort of acquired each other in a weird sort of smartphone carrier hug.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, technically Metro acquired... acquired T-Mobile, but it's for paperwork reasons. Don't read too much into it.
Right.
If the smaller company acquires the larger one, you don't have to go through regulatory approval.
Our new writer, Andrew, has a finance degree, and he explained a little bit of that to me. In the end, doing it this way, that means that T-Mobile is now publicly traded, and the FTC doesn't have as much to say about it. That's why it was done.
Right.
So T-Mobile is less Deutsche Telekom, Sprint is more SoftBank, and Verizon is still a tiny bit Vodafone.
And T-Mobile still doesn't have the iPhone, but it'll be more than happy to activate one.
Yeah, they can't use their name anymore, though, but they can still activate
it. I saw that. That was interesting. Activate something that looks like the iPhone. Activate a rounded cornered smartphone device with an Apple on it. T-Mobile, what are we going to do with you? That's kind of all the news I had. Any cool apps you're using, Jerry? I did a little preview of Action Launcher from the guy who developed Tweetlanes. And I tell you, I mean, look, I'm normally a stock launcher guy, or at least, you know, a third-party launcher that acts and looks stock. I like this. It grew on me. Jerry, you've got it, too. I'll let you play with it. What did you think?
I love it.
Yeah.
If there is a way... you know, in the final version to customize that little side panel, this is what I'll use every day.
So if you haven't watched it, you need to. It basically, it moves the app drawer from the bottom dock to the top left, and you can either hit it, you know, hit the app button, you can hit the home button and from many of the home screens, and it'll open it up. Or, and this is my favorite, if you're on the far left of all your home screens, you keep going, and then it pops open. So you can basically just swipe it open with your thumb really quick. Do I have it?
And do it real slow so it stretches out. That's cool.
Where's my Nexus? Did I lose a phone today? Probably.
It's under the 100 million other phones.
I have no idea where it is.
It's in the drawer with a cha-cha.
At all. Oh, I think I see it over there on the other table. But, you know, go watch the video on the site. I like it a lot. And for a preview, I think it's really good and really interesting. So kudos to Chris Casey for letting us play with that.
Very stable, very fast for a beta.
Anything else we're playing with? I'm just playing Plague Inc. nonstop, which I really shouldn't be doing because there are meningitis deaths all down here. But
I've been playing a lot of that. I had to run through Granny Smith again.
Oh, the space levels. Yeah, Granny Smith got an update. I saw today they updated the update to make it easier to play.
Yeah, I don't know if we posted that yet or not, but it's written up, ready to go.
Yeah.
I got through it before they updated it. I didn't get through with 3 stars, of course. Yeah. So now I might be able to do that. Because it was a little difficult, but some things are fun when they're hard.
It was pretty tough.
What else?
I don't know. That's all I've been playing.
Were you talking about Field Runners on Twitter, Phil?
Talking about what? Field Runners?
Field Runners on Twitter.
I haven't played it in a while, yeah. I mean, we have Field Runners 2, I think.
Yep.
It's been a while, but yeah. No, Ryan Biden, Samsung PR, was talking about using graph paper to map out like the optimal routes and stuff. And
I might have done that
once or twice. Just saying.
You have to. There's entire websites dedicated to that.
Oh, yeah. YouTube is your friend as well, by the way.
I'm waiting for the Plants vs. Zombies update, the new one. I want that.
Yeah.
God, I used to play the crap out of some Plants vs. Zombies. You know what else I want? Not to talk iPad again, but I want the what was the one that just got delayed?
Infinity
Blade.
Infinity Blade Dungeons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I want to see it come out for Android. There's no reason it can't.
You've got a bunch of Epic games already. It's just the engine running.
Right, exactly. So
lazy.
I bet at some point they do it. I hope at some point they do it. I don't know. Should we do some voicemails? We got a whole bunch of voicemails this week.
Do it.
Do you have any particular preference? Which one?
No. Because okay. I think we can hear everybody's name, so I'll just let you blow through them.
Hello, this is Jason. My question was in regard to the security of a Google account when signing into it using an application that requests such access. For example, you did an article on IM Plus the other day, and I thought about downloading it, but had a question about how much access to my Google account would that application have, or the developers of that application essentially have, after I sign in. With my Google password and email address. I'm using two-factor authentication, but I'm not sure that actually makes a difference once the access to the account has been given. I was hoping one of you could maybe explain how that works and what limitations there are. Thank you very much.
Jerry, you know a thing or three about this, right?
A little bit, but first off, he has got a voice for radio, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
He's looking at Jason on the podcast.
That's awesome.
And I hate to say this, I like to trust developers, especially IM Plus. I trust those guys. But the general consensus is don't ever give an app, you know, your Google credentials. If they need to access your Google account, there are methods written by the Android team where they can use, you know, OAuth or another authorization tool. And granted, and you're still in charge of it, you can go to your Gmail account security settings and see who's doing what. Once you sign in, you know, you let IM Plus sign in your Google account. I'm pretty sure they can do whatever they want. They have access. They have your credentials. and I am very hesitant to say not to do that, because these guys, they're not trying to just harvest your Google account data. Now, I'm sure somebody somewhere is trying. So it's something that you have to think about. Personally, I wouldn't use IM Plus if they made me sign in through the app to my Google account. Not when it's easy enough for them to use the Android authorization method, where you just get the pop-up and, you know, the phone asks you, you have authorized or not at the bottom. You know, that's a lot of work that the people at Google went through to write that. And it's, from what I understand, it's fairly easy to implement.
And what if they get
hacked? And then there's no question.
what if they get hacked? I mean, it's just, it's
right. If Google gets hacked, you know, it's another level.
Yeah. If Google gets hacked, we're all obviously in trouble. I mean, Renee, this is something actually we've been working on with the website, and Renee's been a part of it as well. You know, we're working on this cross-site, you know, login stuff, and you can log in with Facebook and Twitter and your Google account and your Microsoft account as well. You'll be able to do, right? And so, Renee, it's the same sort of thing, right? The only difference is mobile versus desktop.
Yeah, yes. We do it the way Jerry described. We get a token. We get a security token from the site. We never use your credentials. We hand it off. It could be OAuth or XAuth, I'm not sure, but we do it the proper way, because you don't want to lose your Google credentials if we get hacked. Like,
right.
It's not big companies, right. It's the intermediaries. It just creates a second point of failure, and it's better not to have that.
Two-step is a totally different thing that he was getting into. Two-step is still good to use. I'm glad I'm using it. The only times I run into an issue is when I get a new phone and I need to log in. It's a pain.
So, yes.
Like when I went and bought the S3, I'm in the Verizon store. They're like, all right, put in your Google stuff. I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
Why not? I have no idea what my password is. Because it's two-step, you have to do an app-specific password, and I can't do that just standing there. And the only other time is when I think my desktop Gmail, because I use Mailplane, whenever that updates, it resets that connection, and I have to get the authorization code off the app.
I turned off Dropbox two-factor because there was just too many apps that would require it, and I'd get text messages, and the tokens wouldn't work half the time. It made me not enjoy using Dropbox.
We're going to security ourselves out of all the fun of technology.
It was so secure, well, I couldn't get in.
Yeah.
There are some things that need security and some don't. Do you know what I do for Dropbox? I have I sync Dropbox on the Windows computer I have in my house. That there is a folder in there that has all AES 256 encrypted data. If I need something secure, it goes into that folder. That's just a big, you know, compressed folder that's secure uploaded to Dropbox.
Right.
Yeah, it's not convenient to get it on the phone, but that way I don't have to try to secure my entire Dropbox account and have everything break that needs to connect to it.
Yeah.
But your Google credentials, on the other hand, I mean, you've got credit card information in there.
Yeah.
That's, you know, make it as safe as you can, in my opinion.
All right, next email. Zach.
Hi, this is Zach Mock. I recently came up with an idea for Android that I consider a killer feature. Frankly, I'm surprised that no one has mentioned it yet. Basically, I think Android should have a unified cloud service. This would allow apps to use a unified framework along with Android APIs to access cloud storage. This works in opposition to how it is right now, where basically every app has to be configured for each individual cloud service. The great thing about this is it would also provide a simplistic solution for remote shares and external drives. I imagine it would be implemented in much the same way that account syncing is right now with services like Facebook and Twitter. So what do you guys think? Later.
I want to know what the hell you're doing talking to us. Go apply for Google.
Yep. I would love to see that implemented through your Google Drive. I mean, that's storage that's already tied to your account. And that would be a great thing to put into a future version of Android, so the APIs are one and the same. If you write an app that saves data, you know, saves your level in Angry Birds, it not only saves it to the phone, it saves it to your account.
Yep.
That's the holy grail. We all want that.
Yep.
Next.
Yes, I'm calling for the Android Central podcast, and I have enjoyed your show, especially your discussion on the Nexus 7 tablet. And one of you still has a Microsoft Zune HD, which I do too. I'm still trying to milk some time out of that, I guess. I guess I had some questions as to whether I'm having some trouble with my micro SD chip on my Optimus Q from Walmart. I have a straight mark plan, and I was wondering if it's common to have problems with SD chips, with the chip per se, or with the reader, et cetera. Okay. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show.
I said we had all the names. We missed one. I would think it's probably more common to have a problem with the card itself and not the phone,
yes.
Right? I mean, they're making how many millions of these things?
That, and you're constantly reading, writing data to that storage. It's bound to get a little out of sync. Chances are, if you copy everything you can get off of it to your computer, stick it in your phone, and then just format it from the phone itself, it'll be fine.
I've had a little bit of issue with that 64 gigabyte card that I got. I finally had. What did I?
Not supported anywhere.
Some of them are. Samsung unofficially supports it. I don't know if they officially support it, but they watch my head, you guys, on video. They unofficially support it, right? I mean, it works and plays back fine. I think some of the apps have issues. That music player that's built into CyanogenMod just crashes left and right. I don't know if that's because I'm running nightlies or what. But Winamp reads it just fine, the way it should. But I'm trying to remember how I finally got it formatted. I think I had to put it in a Motorola phone that I had here for review. And then it would finally format, and I was able to get it. You know, I think I had to plug it in to the computer through the I mean, it was a big pain. And by the way, Google Music needs a better way to download your music from their cloud, because their desktop version of it, the app itself, is just horrendously slow. And you can only download, twice from the web. So it's a big pain in the butt. But yeah, I mean, it's still nice having that much storage, though. Like, I don't worry at all.
But Google Music is designed for you to pin the music you want onto your phone without downloading.
I don't
want
to pin it.
2012, Jerry.
Then don't use Google Music, man. There's a million choices.
I know. I'm working on it, and you guys aren't going to like the answer. I'm not sure I like the answer, to be honest.
I know what the answer is. I don't like it at all.
There's no good answer. That's the problem.
There really isn't.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm thinking more family-wide. Like, what can I use that my family can... And I was bugging Renee about it. And I was bugging Jerry about this, too, in the middle of the night, a couple nights. Oh, it's a pain. All right, next email. I'm getting depressed. Or a voicemail.
Hi, this is Randy from Pittsburgh. I have a Samsung Galaxy S3, but I just launched like Angry Birds, and like it gets hot, too, like really hot that I can almost can't hold it, and that's within like a minute. So I don't know, is there something about the batteries with NFC, or what do you guys know? I appreciate the feedback. Thanks.
You think it's Angry Birds doing it, or you think there's something else running? I don't know. What do you think, Jerry?
Jerry, we lost Jerry.
Oh, did we lose Jerry? That's what it was?
Yeah. The Wi-Fi's ended in his area.
Oh, no. Oh, he says the power went out. Well, let's ask Jerry what he thinks. Jerry, what do you think? Do you think it was Angry Birds? Do you think it was... Well... it sounds like my grandfather. I can't do Jerry. No, that's a good... There's so many factors that could go into that. I mean, it could be a rogue app on your phone. I mean, I hate to be the guy who says it, but reboot your phone, because that's step one for any sort of troubleshooting. I mean, worst comes to worst, you back up everything and then do a hard reset and see if that fixes it. For the love of all things holy, don't let somebody install a task killer on there, because that's not the answer. Mm. Please don't do it. I mean, it's been a while since I've used Galaxy S2. I don't think Angry Birds is going to tax it that much.
No, I shouldn't. But there's always cruft that builds up, Phil. I think your process is exactly right.
Yeah. And then if that doesn't work, find a new game.
To the forums.
Yeah, actually, that's what you need to do, is go dive into our Galaxy S2 forums and see if anybody else has any ideas. But that would be the process I do. Reboot the phone, try to see if you have any weird rogue apps running, I guess. Hard reset, you know, as a last resort. But, you know, I think it's got to be an app. There's got to be something running back there, I think. So, all right, next voicemail.
Jean-Paul.
Nexus! Hey, guys, this is Jean-Paul calling for the Android Central Podcast. Everyone's going Nexus crazy. I figured I'd give it a shot. We've heard a lot about the hardware. We've seen the pictures. I really want to know about the software. And Nexus always has been about software. Cheryl said in the forums, I was thinking the same thing. What are we going to see? I mean, is there some new features coming? Because in my opinion, bug fixes, performance enhancements, those are important, but that's not enough to convince me to buy a new Nexus phone. So, any software leaks, guys? You heard any rumors? What do you think? Anyway, I guess that's about it for me. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm out. Get some shout outs first before I go. Bill, I love Attitude. Alex, I love Intellect. And Beard, I love the Jerry. All right, guys. Nexus!
John Paul's on the running for best voicemail next to Alex from Austria, I think. Oh, God, you know what I just did, Renee?
What'd you do?
I've just inspired Alex to send another voicemail, I'm afraid.
That'd be fantastic.
We're going to get an Alex-John Paul war. I mean, I think if we see a new version on the 29th, and I'm pretty sure we will, it'll be that 4.2. I have a feeling it's going to be a lot of under-the-hood type stuff. Almost, I mean, Gingerbread was a little more than just under the hood. Maybe not quite to the same level of, say, Froyo, but yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a lot of under the hood stuff. Android Police managed to snag a system dump off one of those leaked LG ones. And, I mean, from everything you've seen, it's like nothing too terribly front-facing. You know, an updated Gmail app, but an updated Gmail app is going to come regardless of a new Nexus, because, as we talked about earlier, it's just an application now, right? I, you know, could be totally wrong. I really have a good feeling that, yes.
I are back.
Yay! So our old pal Jean-Paul is asking about any sort of software goodness we're going to see at the Nexus event. And I was saying, I think it's going to be a lot of under-the-hood type stuff. Or at least everything that we've kind of seen leaked so far appears that way.
I hope so. There is a really good start in 4.1.1.
Mm-hmm.
A really, really good start. I hope they stop and flesh out what they started. Give Matthias and his team another cycle to do what they want to do with the UI and change it all at once. But I want to see more done with Wi-Fi Direct. I want to see more done with Project Butter. There's a lot of good stuff under the hood that we need to flesh out.
I agree. And I was saying the Gmail app update that we've seen leaked, you know, I mean, that's going to happen one way or the other because it's an app. So that's, you know, not 4.2 specific.
Right. We have to remember that's not part of Android. That's an entirely different team.
Anything else? I don't think on that one. All right, next one.
That's it.
That's it. We only had four?
No, that was all five.
Oh, that was five? Wow, that was coherent, I thought.
You were fast, Phil. We don't mess around.
That was fast.
Lightning round.
You want to do a lightning round?
Brought it back. Go ahead, I don't care. Use the chat room instead of Twitter.
Chat room, ask a question. We will answer it. In the meantime, I'm going to find a... we'll do a couple of these emails that I have laying around and didn't actually prepare for anything.
What the key letter would be, Phil? Do you have any case suspicions yet?
Key lime pie. No, everybody thinks key lime pie, and I'm inclined to agree. I think it's key lime pie. It's going to be key lime pie. It'll probably be key lime pie. If it's not key lime pie, don't blame me.
Break exclusive. Phil Dickinson confirms key lime pie.
No. Patrick writes, any speculation on note type apps bundled in a 7-inch Nexus for the 29th? Nope. I don't think so. I mean, there are too many third-party apps for that.
Yeah, Google doesn't play that way. There's plenty. I mean, you know what? Try Catch Notes.
Yeah.
Go to the Google Play Store, download Catch Notes. I don't think it was written by the Google team, but you will think it was.
Aaron writes, I'm going to be taking a trip that involves about a 14-hour drive, and I'll be using GPS to guide me. While I normally use Google Maps Nav on my phone for short-range directions, I'm a little concerned about using it for a long trip. The phone gets pretty warm when on GPS for a while, and I'm worried about 14 hours on navigation will melt my phone into slag. Am I worried for nothing, or should I look into getting a standalone GPS unit for the trip? What's the other part of a phone that gets really hot when you leave it on?
Battery, the screen.
Display.
Yep.
Just get to a, I mean, especially because the voice directions are so good now. And I figure if you're driving for 14 hours along, that a lot of that's going to be long stretches, right? Turn the display off. Mm-hmm. It'll still be tracking you in the background. You know, I don't drive long distances, but, you know, and when I do, I know where I'm going now. But I still turn it on just to see it. And that's what I do. I turn it on, I leave the screen off, and it works fine. So leave the screen off, turn it on when you need it. Should be all right, I think. If not, Jerry will give you a new phone.
Pick one. I've got a Palm Pixie that's just begging for a home.
So much stuff anyway. They just have to enter the contest. I'll almost certainly win.
Yeah.
There was one more that I wanted you to make sure we got read this week.
Oh, that's right. What was it?
I found it.
I'm going to totally butcher the name, and I'm sorry. Baron Jan, I think, and his daughter Bjork. Baron writes, my daughter, 7 years old, wants a touch device to play with. But if I give her my old HTC Desire, she can call the emergency operator number, 112, here in Europe, and get me in all sorts of trouble, and she's done this a few times on my phones already. So I want to give her an iPod-like media device for the cheap on Android, because I love the openness about it. But that media device are scarce here in Europe, so you know, like the Galaxy Player type thing. So my question is, can I disable the GSM part of my old HTC Desire via an update to the radio, but keep the Wi-Fi antenna? Or can I get a secondhand non-GSM USA phone and use that in Europe because all the antennas are pretty much useless here? So could you get a CDMA phone and it just flat out won't work? That's a really good question.
Yeah, the CDMA phone that isn't going to work, yes, that'll work. That'll be fine. But the dude has a Desire, and it'd be great for his daughter.
Right.
One of you HTC Sense ROM builder hacker guys out there, you got to write in and tell us how he can completely disable the dialer so his daughter can't even call 911 or his European version of 911. So, a part of me has to think that that's completely possible. And hopefully somebody listening will know how to do it. You tell us, and we'll make sure we tell them, because I want to see the guy's little kid have a Desire to play with. Doesn't everyone?
Do European phones work without a SIM? Couldn't he just yank the SIM out and be a dead phone with Wi-Fi?
You can still call 911.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any other GSM device. So, I never thought about that, but my daughter's using an old iPhone. She's using an iPhone, I think it's a 3. For an iPod, and I never thought of that.
Ooh, tell me your email address so I can tell her which numbers to push. No. Watch what happens when you do that for Daddy.
No more talking to Uncle Jerry. Hey. Yeah, that was a really good question. I mean, but on the other hand, I could see where you wouldn't even want baked into a ROM like the ability to turn that off, because that's a safety thing at that point, right?
Right. So. Right, I can see why there's no, and people are saying airplane mode. I do believe airplane mode, you can still make an emergency call. You know, I'm not sure on that, but I can see why it's not there.
Can ask Phil's daughter to test it for us.
Only on a plane, where we can get away with it. All right, that's some good stuff, I think. I think we're done.
Your giveaway, Phil. Giveaway.
Yes, we're going to give some stuff away here in a minute. Won't bother doing it live since you can't win it later. And that's just a reason to listen next week, because maybe we'll give away more stuff. And remember, next week will be the last podcast before the October 29th event, so you will definitely want to be here and be back for that. And yes, we will give stuff away next week. So, Renee, you got the script open?
I do.
Why don't you wrap it up for us?
Be sure to email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. Also, get us all on Twitter. That's at Android Central, at Phil Mickinson, at TCPJ_Mickey, at GB Hill, at C Streeter. Although you're better off trying to find Corey on
Google Plus. Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Dobie, and follow our list for all of the other writers. This has been brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call 888-468-6158. You can also leave us a voicemail at the exact same number, 888-468-6158 at extension 222.
Google Plus, obviously, as well. We are all there. Congrats again to everybody involved in the forums.
Thinking about disabling my Twitter account, guys.
Why is that?
Every time I say something on Twitter, or even auto-tweet something on Twitter, which I admit I do a lot of.
Yes.
I mean, I win a million free iPads, but I never really get any of them. They're all just spam.
Nah, you're not giving up the Twitters just yet.
What about the app.nest, Jerry? Are you going to give that up too?
Oy.
I haven't even gotten to look into that yet.
I think I'm up to like 130 followers on there now. So,
oh, we'll fix that.
Yeah. That's it, boys and girls. We are done. We will be back next week. Everybody in chat room, hang on. We're about to give stuff away. Jerry, thank you. Renee, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Well, thank you. Yes, thank you.
See everybody next week.
Best damn Android podcast on the planet.
Woohoo!
A million members, Phil.
A million members. 1 million members.